Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to awaken to the truth of your soul? Welcome to today's episode of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show with your host, Nadia Khalil.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's show. Today is March 14th, 2017. It is Tuesday, and we are just in the beginning of this week. I am back in L.A., which is kind of nice, big weather difference. Last night when I was at the airport, the craziest thing was that all of the planes going east of Chicago were all canceled. And the big snowstorm they expected yesterday didn't start hitting until I was leaving, and we were like 2 hours late leaving. So I got home, I can't even remember, maybe 11 or after 11 in the evening, but it was already starting to snow, and I thought, man, one more day, and I probably would have been stuck in Chicago. So I can't wait to see whatever happened with their weather and what their day is like today. But, oh, my God, 80 degrees in L.A. This is when the big difference hits, usually around February, but this year it took a little longer. So it's just crazy. I'm glad to be home as much as I love to travel. It is 22 degrees and snowing right now in Chicago. So big, big difference, like 60-degree difference will be. But I did want to say that I had to do a show about lies because I'm running into these little, I want to call them white lied people that just say things that they know you want to hear, but it's not true, and they don't remember saying it, and it's getting them in trouble with the people they love and care about or are even trying to keep in their lives, in a relationship. And they're not even lives worth their weight in anything to say, but yet we are saying them. We want to get out of doing something. We don't want to say the truth. And then we forget we lied. The truth then comes out. Then they tell you, God, I hope I don't lie to you. I've lied to everybody else. I hope I don't lie to you. I mean, they're that honest. But there's something missing when we lie like that. But before we even get to what's missing, because today's show is about our reactions, what do the lies say about us? Just as people, what happens to us when we lie? Because we definitely get upset. We definitely feel bad. We get hurt. We don't understand why they lied to us. We thought we had a better relationship with that person, a more important relationship, even though we see them lying to everybody else. But they really tell you the biggest lie, and that is that they don't lie to you. But they do. And when you find out, you don't know what to do at first. And it's funny. Did you ever notice that when somebody lies to you, anybody lies to anybody, the burden is on the person who heard the lie to prove that the person who lied lied just to get to the truth? And then you're like, well, how am I going to say something? Because now I'm going to accuse them of lying. What happens to us when we consider lies as the first line of getting out of doing anything, trying not to upset people, yet the lies upsetting them? Whether they even realize it or not, when somebody lies, both people walk away uneasy for two different reasons. And they try to get what they want from someone who is unsuspecting. There is so much behind the lie that insecurity cannot even begin to get to the truth. What makes lying more attractive than the truth, and why are we willing to suffer the consequences as a chance that we will take? Somebody tells you they lie, you just met them. You're deciding whether or not you want to get into a relationship with them. And then you continue on. And there's a man I know who lies all the time and feels completely justified. Well, I don't want my kids to know this. I don't want that one to know that. And you hear them, but that's not how it affects you. You say, oh, wow, I heard him lie here and I heard him lie there. Because now what happens to you is when you're not physically seeing that person, anything that anyone tells you, that person tells you, anything they tell you, you literally just don't believe. So what happens is the conversations that you have no longer mean anything. Because you know that whatever they just said to you today is not going to happen. Even though they said it is. So you start not even paying attention. Whether it's, you know, when you're going to go out, whether it's going out. Unless something is set in stone, you don't believe the person. So I ask Christ, what does a lie say about us? And I don't know if he answered that, because what he said to me was, what does a lie do? I thought, well, maybe that's saying something about us. But what does a lie do? And what Christ said, he gave me 8, probably will go on as we speak. He said, it immediately instills fear in us that nothing we know is true. Because if somebody can lie, that means other people can lie. And if other people can lie, who do we believe? The second thing he said was, then we stop looking at others as a resource. It takes us a little bit of time to get over the lie. How many times have we heard people say, I have been lied to? Prove to me that what you say is true. Especially if they get any inkling of the feelings they had when they believed the other lie. Because a lot of times we get in to a situation and we're brand new, so we haven't had experience yet. But I'm telling you now, if you see this person lie and they are completely comfortable with it, and you stick around long enough, it will happen to you. And once we start looking at others as a resource, which is what number 2 was, then we stop looking at others as a resource. Number 3, then we stop, if we can, listening and interacting with the soul that did not tell the truth. Then anyone who looks like or behaves like that person is subject. Oh, they're just like Nancy. They're just like Nadia. They're just like whoever was that said it. And then we start to believe the world isn't safe. And we try to catch the liars to prove the world is safe. And that liars can't run for long. We wait for the proof. We get weak, we get sick, we get this fighter in us. It brings out all different reactions in us. Just to bring things to justice, even when it is our lawmakers. When we start hearing lies and we think, these people are running our cities, our states, our countries, we start wanting to make the world right so that we can sleep in the world we live in again. And that's what a lie does. That's what we do. I see Shirley, who wrote in the chat, I was in a relationship and lied to, and oh my goodness, it turned everything upside down and took me years to get over the deceit. I feel on track again and had to rebuild everything. Because we dismantle. Just like this is what happened to Shirley. You start to believe the world isn't safe. You try to catch the liar to prove you knew what was going on and you don't want them to get away with it so that you can believe the world is safe again and that lying isn't running the show. How many of you have heard a lie? Not something someone said, you know what, I'll do that, and they couldn't do it. That's not a lie. A lie is when somebody tells you they know something they know, and they don't tell you the truth. Sometimes people have a personal thing close to them. They may have one thing they're holding back because they're embarrassed or they haven't grown into understanding it yet. That is also different than somebody blatantly looking at you or talking to you on the phone and lying to you and telling you they didn't do something they did or they didn't say something they did or they didn't promise something they did or they took something that wasn't yours and said they did not. Whether they cause trouble or not. It's not that this lie is different from that lie, but it's the situations that are different. And if there's ever something that someone doesn't want to tell somebody, all they have to say is, you know what, I'm not ready to talk about that yet. I have to come to terms with myself with that, whatever it is. But I don't want to lie and say I'm okay. Or I don't want to lie because I don't have all my information yet. I'm not sure what the answer is to that yet. But a lot of times there's things we know and we don't say them. And we know it will solve the situation, but we don't want to get caught. People who usually stole something will immediately lie about it, and we immediately know that their lie is a lie, but they deny it. We have a court system to crack lies, keep their mouth shut, and make you prove that they're telling the truth. And what has happened to us is we say people are innocent until proven guilty, but at the same time, we're actually in reality guilty until proven innocent, if we can be proven innocent. The fact that we are there is guilty until proven innocent. Because if we cannot prove ourselves innocent, then we're staying. And Shirley writes, that's the thing. Even with proof, it's easy to lie. Even people will say, but that's not what happened. They go to jail saying, I did not do that. That's not how it is. Oh, I didn't mean that. Oh, I was just joking. They may say something very hurtful, and they know it was very hurtful. And then they take away what they've said to you by saying they were just joking. But you know what happens to you? Because you know when they said that they weren't joking and they meant it, you stop hearing that person. For as long as you are with that person because you want to be with the person, you care about the person, you want to know them, you want to be part of their lives, but what happens to you is you shut down. And when we start interacting with each other, we get hurt, we fight with them, we can't wait to catch them. As Shirley writes, I heard all of those, just joking, I don't want to hurt you. But really what hurt was the lies. But the person who's doing it, and it was written about in Origins of Truth, and Origins of Truth has been coming up a lot lately. I can't wait till we get the second edition out, just because it becomes new again. Even though the book isn't new, but the information is new to a lot of people. But what was written about the meek in that book blew my mind. The race to the finish line, and there isn't a finish line on earth, but we created one. No one can take money with them when they go, but we made it more important than our lives at times. Kill people over it. We lie for it. We steal it. Some of us, we all work for it, but then some people want more of it than they've worked for, so they chase other people who have worked for it. Some people found ways to steal it from a lot of people and live better than other people for what they've done. Some people worked really hard and get it, but we can always tell the difference. We always can tell the difference. You know, there's a funny story. When I was in a small town right off of Jerusalem, it's a small town. I can't tell you. It's like each town is a family. That's how small the towns are. They call them like tribes, or in Arabic, hamulas. They're like these tribes. And some towns have more than one family in them, because when there was a refugee situation in some of the towns that are now in the other parts, you know, on the east bank of Jordan, there were Arabs there, and then they got pushed out and they became refugees in some of the other towns on the west bank of Jordan. So that's how they got there. So there might be more than one family in a town. But when I was there and I witnessed this, they have bars on their windows, but they don't have screens, which they should, because they have bugs coming in all the time. But no screens, bars on the window. So I don't know how people get into each other's houses, but there's one guy that everybody knows robs everyone. He's a robber. He's a thief in the night, literally, because they don't have streetlights. They don't have anything. If someone's walking and you can't hear them, you never know who's behind you. It's amazing how it's set up to actually help this situation along. And he will come in and steal from everybody. And then people who have big families, what they do is they all go together to his house. Somehow they get in there, I don't know if they ring the doorbell or I don't know what they do, but they go back, retrieve their stuff, and come back home. If you could imagine, most people try to steal gold from each other, the little gold that each one of these families might have, because that they can sell quickly. But there isn't like a quick market like here where you go and you can disappear. Everybody knows everybody. The towns aren't that big. And everyone knows he's the thief. And everyone, if they can, get enough people to go with them to outnumber him, they will go and get their stuff back. That is so obvious that I had to think later on in life, maybe that man was mentally ill, because who would do that? But here, what has happened to me over time is that when somebody's lying to me, whatever it was they lied about, and I know it happens to all of us now, we don't forget what they said, how they said it, why they said it. They forget, but you don't forget, because you're the one who received it. I remember when I first saw Christ, the people who thought I was lying about it were people who themselves lied, either to make themselves better, bigger, more important than others, and they believed that I was lying to be bigger than them, because that's what they did. And that's when I learned about reflection. People who were molested thought I was molested and needed a certain kind of attention. People who wrote or did things like philosophies and that thought that I had the proper term for it was, but they felt that I had this grandiose perception of myself, and that's how I was living it out. But all the different lies they thought I was saying were the lies of which they lived by. It was pure projection. at the time I took it seriously because I didn't know what was going on, and I was saying things like, you know, I wanted to prove to people, and then I thought, I can't prove this. And Christ said, yes, you can. And I'm like, how? The night I saw you, Christine was sitting in front of me and didn't see you. He said, no, she didn't see me. But she saw you. She was a witness. You don't know what you looked like that night. You only know what you felt like. She told you what you looked like. And you knew she was telling you the truth. And I brought you the man who asked you for the wine. Who did he see? He only saw me through you. He didn't even see Christine. And when he came back to give you the wine, then he saw that there were two people sitting at that table. Because of how it happened, you did know it was true. And you never have to prove that because your truth is in the story. And we are hardwired to the truth. And if you are fought, you don't need to fight back. The truth will do the work. And that's where I get, tell the truth will do the work. Tell the lie, and it will hold everything in place until that lie is grown over. If you're with somebody who lies a lot, after a while, a fort is built, and one of the two people cannot stay there, and it's usually the one receiving the lies. Some people can't help it. Their insecurities are so high that they don't believe anyone would love them if they didn't do what everybody wanted them to do. So they just say, oh, no, this didn't matter. Oh, yeah, that didn't. But it does matter. Oh, that wasn't a big lie. Come on, give me a break. That's what I hear. I was just joking. I can't believe you remembered that. Well, I only remembered it because when you said it, it didn't fall into place. We are hardwired for the truth. Lies aren't easy. Lies aren't easy. Ask a young kid who was lied to for the first time and knew it. They almost can't get over the feeling because it's so disrespectful and so condescending that even the liar themselves, and I've written this from day one, wants to get caught because they think if they lied and you didn't get it, if they lied and you didn't get it, they too, it immediately instills fear in them that nothing is true. Because if you couldn't catch them, what does that mean? That means they can be lied to too. Because if you didn't know, how did they know when they are? And they become even more distrusting. The one who gets hurt, and that's the magic of all of this, is that what does a lie do? It immediately instills fear in us that nothing is true. Happens to both people. They stop looking at others as a resource. Happens to both people. Then we stop, if we can, listening and interacting with the soul that did not tell the truth. Happens to both people. Then when someone who looks like and behaves like them, happens to both people. When we start to think the world isn't safe, the people who lie the most think it's the least safe, both people. When we try to catch the liar is always facing that with their people. The person I was telling you about with the lying, their son is getting in trouble for lying in school day in and day out. And the parents created a truth jar that gets a marble every time he tells the truth. But I always say, where do you think your son got it from? Everyone's like, oh, he lied again. And no one has the guts or the observation or the wherewithal to say, that's what goes on in your house every day. Because it does. It's like trying to catch something, but you can't, your hand can't grip around it. And then Shirley says, she heard about the just joking and I don't want to hurt you. It's like they try to make you doubt and doubt again, and they leave you with that doubt. And Francis added, yes, Shirley, they blame us if we do not believe them. And there was a story that I had to learn through lying. When I was with Sterling, Sterling had 4 children. They were all young. I was raising 6 kids at one time, and he was in the hospital. And one of them stole from everybody. And the biggest thing she stole was her sister, who first got a job at a fast food place, got her first check for $200. That's a lot of work for $200, because you're not getting paid much an hour. And she was still in school, and she went and cashed her first check. And she came home and she hid the money in her drawer. When she went to go back, the entire amount of money was gone. So we knew her sister took it. But her sister immediately started crying and blaming everybody for accusing her all the time of lying or stealing. And she cried, and her face was red, and it was a big scene, and her other sister was hugging her, and I'm like watching all of this. And then we found the money in Hannah's things. What happened? And she's my best teacher. I love her to death. Thank you for what you taught me. Because I was so happy we finally caught her. I couldn't wait to have the conversation after 4 years. Like, ha-ha, we got you. So she's coming into my office to talk to me about this. And I'm waiting. And Christ pulls this one on me and tells me I cannot say that she lied. I'm like, what? I've waited 4 years to say she lied. He said, let her lie. I'm like, oh, my God, God, how could you do this to me? I can't let her get away with this. So she sits in front of my desk, and I say to her, what happened? It took all my patience in the world to say that. And she told me, and I said, I believe you. And she looked at me like, are you stupid? But I had to deal with it. And Christ said, let her lie yet again. And she started getting confused. She almost didn't know how to deal with me. And then he said, let her walk out. Tell her she can leave. So I'm like, you can leave. And then when she walked out, she turned around and looked at me like, are you okay? But yet, she walked this walk I will never forget for the duration of my life. And Christ said to me, watch her walk out the door so that you know what a liar looks like when they are walking away from you. And I was stunned. I was stunned. Because she didn't normally walks. It was amazing. And he taught me what a lie looks like for the rest of my life. You guys, we're done. I will see you tomorrow for Relationship Wednesday. I love you so very much. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to today's Daily Dose of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show. To learn more, visit www.nadiakhalil.com.